May the dear Holy Spirit come, grant us true worship. Help us to commence by singing hymn number 775. 775. My God, when I reflect how all my lifetime passed, I ran the roads of sin and death with rash, impetuous haste. My foolishness I hate, my filthiness I loathe, and view with sharp remorse and shame my filth and folly both. Hymn 775.
From the Word of God, we will read this morning from the Book of the Deuteronomy, chapter 33. That's the Book of the Deuteronomy, chapter 33. And this is the blessing whereby Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death, and said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words." Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. "Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah." And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi," he said, "let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and unto his mother, 'I have not seen him,' neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor know his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and hold burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise up against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin," he said, "the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the first filling of his bullock. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in the portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord, and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap up from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessings of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety, alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thine help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. May the Lord bless unto us his own word of truth, and help us in prayer. Most gracious, eternal Lord God, help us now to bow before the throne of heaven in prayer. And give us that faith to come with that boldness and yet with that reverence unto thy feet. Put us now in that worshipping frame and help us to remember who we now profess to be worshipping. Help us, Lord, to confess and to believe with all our hearts that thou art the great, the almighty, the sovereign, holy Lord God, who alone is worthy of our worship, of our adoration, of our praise. Do come, thou almighty King, and reign over us as King and Sovereign. And help us, Lord, to love and to submit with joyful hearts and willing feet to thy rule. Help us, Lord, to have a right view of thee and of ourselves, that we are nothing in thy sight but unworthy sinners, dust and ashes, rebels deserving of eternal death. And that thou art the almighty God, our creator, the sustainer of all living things, the one who provides for us in all that we have, and that one who will one day call us to his immediate presence. Help us, Lord, then to worship thee with that reverence and with that respect which thou dost deserve. But grant, gracious God, that many of us, and in thy time all, may be able not only to worship thee as God and as judge and as creator, but also as our Father, as our Saviour, as our Comforter, as our Redeemer, as our Almighty Friend. And may, Lord, we worship thee today, not in slavish terror and fear, but in that love, that tenderness, that peace, that nearness that thy people know. May, Lord, we be a people this day near unto the Lord. And prove that thou art drawing near unto us. Draw us to thy feet, Lord Jesus. And speak to us this day through thy precious word of truth. And seal thy word home to our hearts. And in these uncertain, troublous days, help us, Lord, to realize, old, middle-aged and young alike, the necessity of being made ready for eternity, the uncertainty of life, the certainty of death and judgment, and the need to be prepared for what follows this life. Prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, wash us in his blood. So shall we lift our heads with joy among the sons of God. Do thou our sins subdue, thy sovereign love make known, the spirit of our minds renew and save us in thy Son. May we attest thy power. May we thy goodness prove till our full souls can hold no more of everlasting love. Lord, may there be many this day who are filled to overflowing with that everlasting love and peace. And Lord, may there be many this day who are filled for the first time with that love, that saving love, that matchless love, that redeeming love. Do then, we pray, pardon and forgive our sins. Apply the precious fountain of thy blood, Lord Jesus, unto us. May we know that there is still power in the blood to forgive all sin and to give us peace with God. We pray thy blessing upon the cause of truth at Swavesey. And we pray, Lord, for each one of them in their own homes. We ask you, Lord, to watch over them and keep them together as a church and people in these uncertain, troubling times. May Satan not be permitted to gain an advantage. But we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst hedge them about with thy loving kindness. We ask thee, Lord, to watch over each one. Remember those who are elderly and infirm, those who are lonely, isolated in their own homes with no one else. Yet, Lord, could it please thee to draw near unto them, and may even these days they learn of Jesus. We pray for those in the midst of life, burdens, cares, concerns, worries, those who have cares in business life, and perhaps are concerned as to how the future will plan out. Help them this day to cast those cares upon thee, and prove that thou wilt care for them and sustain them and provide for their needs. And do help parents and grant them thy help to bring them up, the children up in thy fear, and grant them wisdom and grace in these days. And grant them thy help as they have to school their children. Give them the patience and the wisdom that they need. And do bless the children and the young people, and grant them also that patience in these days, and make them willing to be taught. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless with success their schooling, even at this time, and bless them in their young days, and may there be many in that time to come who are able to date the beginning of the work of grace in their hearts during this time. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst visit many with thy great salvation. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst add to this people those whom thou hast and those whom thou wilt save. And even at this time, Lord, could it please thee to direct those who have never darkened the doors to seek out the services of thy house, to be blessed in their own homes as for the first time they hear the gospel. And given that desire, and be directed to the house of God when the doors are eventually reopened in thine own good time. And do add unto the church those whom thou hast saved. We thank thee, Lord, what thou hast done in recent years. And those who thou hast added, we ask thee, Lord, to continue. For we believe that yet there is room in thy house, in the Father's house, for thy sheep, for thy little ones, for those who love the Lord. Bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word through thy servants, and crown of success their labours, and grant them thy special help as they have to preach in their own homes, and lift them above all these trying things. And bless, we pray, this day, thy servants as they are labouring in their own homes up and down this land, and indeed throughout the nations of the world. And we pray, Lord, that there may be given that hunger and that thirst, and may there be many this day who hear thy word savingly for the first time. And we pray, Lord, that Satan may have overreached himself, that this may be the commencement of a revival in our land and in the nations of the world and in the churches that we have longed for, which we have long prayed for and never seen. Bless then, we pray, thy servants this day, and crown of success thy gospel as it is proclaimed worldwide. And grant us good hearts prepared by thee to receive the good seed of thy word. Lord, we know if there is no fruit in our hearts, it will not be the fault of the seed. For it is good seed, it is perfect seed, it is fruitful. The fault will be with us. Lord, give us that faith which will make us fruitful. Prepare us to receive thy word. Bless, we pray, our rulers, and put thy fear in their hearts, and visit them with thy great salvation, and cause them to consider why these things have come. Give them the grace and the humility and the courage to be prepared to change course and to admit they have been wrong over many generations, made willing to return us as a nation to thee, the God we have forsaken. We ask now thy help as we come to thy word. Come, Lord Jesus, send down thy Holy Spirit from above and grant that power, that success from heaven. Grant the preaching tongue, the hearing ear, the believing, obedient hearts. We thank thee for thy mercies, the mercies of grace, the mercies which flow from Calvary. That free grace, that dying love. We thank thee, Lord, for thy providence. We ask thy blessing upon us, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 47. 47. Cursed be the man, forever cursed, that does one willful sin commit. Death and damnation for the first, without relief and infinite. Thus Sinai roars, and round the earth thunder and fire and vengeance flings. But Jesus, thy dear gasping breath, and Calvary say gentler things. Hymn number 47.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's gracious help. I ask your prayerful attention this morning to the last words recorded of Moses, the man of God, as found in the book of the Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and the closing four verses in the chapter. The book of the Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verses 26 to 29. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy hell, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thine help. And who is the sword of thine excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. What precious words these are. Words of promise. Words of grace. Words of blessing. And as Moses comes to the end of his life and pilgrim way, as he comes to the end of the journey, as he now lays down the burden of leadership, he points the people who he now has to leave behind to the eternal God who will never leave them, who will never forsake them. And he commits them with confidence and with sure and certain hope into the loving, faithful care of Almighty God, that God who he had proved all that journey through. He looks forward for the people of Israel and their immediate battles ahead. If they have to face driving out the dwelling places of the land of Canaan and the many battles that lay ahead, and how he encourages them to be of good courage and to fear not. But I've no doubt that as he considered his own journey, the river of death that he was about to embark, how he too could take courage in the words of our text and find it to be solid ground both to live on and to die on. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. This is how he sums up, having gone through the various tribes of the children of Israel and given each a blessing and a word from the Lord. He now sums up for the entire nation of Israel his desires for them. More than that, these words are what God himself gave him to say. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. That word Jeshurun is another word given to the children of Israel. It means upright, prosperous, straight. This is how God viewed Israel in Christ. And this is how God views the spiritual Israelites, those who have a hope in the mercy of Jesus Christ. If you look at the history of the children of Israel, they were anything but upright. They were anything but straight. They were anything but honorable. They were anything but patient. And yet here God views them in his covenant. And he calls them Jeshurun. One of the very few times he does in Scripture. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. As he had said, not so very long before this, in speaking to Balaam, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. And this is what this word Jeshurun means. He has not seen perverseness or iniquity. By nature, the original Jacob was very perverse. By nature, he was full of iniquity. He was a great sinner. And by nature, the children of Israel were just like him. And by nature, all of God's people are the same. None of us can boast that we lack perverseness. None of us can boast of anything of ourselves. And yet, beloved friends, if you and I are favored like the original Jacob was, and like the nation of Israel was in a covenant sense, and many of the individual people of it who were in that covenant of grace, he has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither perverseness in Israel. The shout of a king is among them. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said? And shall he not do it? Has he commanded and not made it good? I have received commandment to bless. He hath blessed and I cannot reverse it. Satan and Satan's agents cannot reverse a blessing God is designed to give. And here we find in this chapter the blessings God had designed to give to the children of Israel as a nation, as the individual tribes. And here we find in this chapter the spiritual blessings God has designed to give to the spiritual Israelites. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. The other nations who were the adversaries of Israel had their own gods. The Egyptians, to whom the children of Israel had come out from, they had their own gods. In the world today, there are many gods, so-called, little g gods, idols, and friends, let's come closer. How many idols do we have? Anything we put in the place of God Almighty is an idol. And the greatest idol is self. And you might this morning be trusting in yourself. But you will prove one day that you're not like the God of Jeshurun. You cannot ride in the heaven. You cannot perform the things that God only can do, the wonders God alone can do. Those other lesser gods, which are not gods at all, cannot save, cannot deliver, cannot redeem, cannot save from hell. Those other gods of the Canaanites and of the Egyptians were worthless when the God Almighty came against them and fought on behalf of the children of Israel. They could not save those who trusted in them. There is only one God worthy of the name. This is the God of our text, and he alone can save. He alone can deliver. He alone is worthy of our trust. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Here Moses talks of the majesty of God, of the greatness of God. He exalts God, and he reminds and exhorts the children of Israel to remember that the God that they worship, that the God that they serve, that the God whose protection they are under is like none other. No one else can be compared to him. He alone has the ability, and they had proved it during the 40 years. How often had he rided upon the heaven in their help? He had done so in Egypt. How impossible it would have been for them even to come out from Egyptian bondage had God not ridden upon the heaven to help them. He who had made the literal heavens black for them. He who had rained various plagues from heaven upon them. The destroying angel who had ridden through the heavens literally on the night of the Passover for the help and for the defense and for the deliverance and for the aid and protection of the children of Israel. That God of the yesterday in the history of the Israelites was the same God now as they stood on the verge of the promised land. That God who was the same God to them at the borders of the Red Sea, and who divided it, and who then looked, we are told, through the clouds of heaven and overturned the Egyptians and delivered the children of Israel. The God of the Red Sea was the same God of the River Jordan. And beloved friends, he is the same God today as he was then, able and willing to save, to help, and to deliver. There is none like unto the God of Jeshua, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The Almighty God, the Almighty Refuge, the Almighty Friend and Deliverer, that one who had surrounded them with his protection and aid every day of their journey through the wilderness, that one who had delivered them again and again and again, that one who had provided for them manna to eat and a smitten rock, the water for them to drink, that one who had turned the curse of Balaam into a blessing, that one who had guided them through the wilderness where there were no signposts, to the promised land, that one who had overthrown all who had come against them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And beloved friend, Almighty God is just as able today to deliver you in your troubles, in your griefs, in your distresses, in your difficulties. He is able to appear for you just as he appeared for the Israelites in the days of old. He is still a faithful God. He still lives. He still sits on his throne and he still rides upon the heaven in his help. For those who are favored to be called Jeshua, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you and I are favoured to be among these spiritual Jeshuanites, we have Almighty God on our side, therefore we have no need to fear. But if we are not spiritual Jeshuanites, we are not spiritual Israelites, if spiritually we are the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the worldlings, then we do not have the God of Jeshua for our help. And if he is not our help and defense, he is against us. Almighty power is either for you or it is against you. And you can never succeed against this power. Let us seek that God in his mercy would reveal to us that he is our God, that he is for us, not against us. He's fighting for us. That he is with us, not absent from us. He hasn't turned his back upon us. There is none like unto the God of Jeshua, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. And he is a help to his people, and that word help, it has everything in it. It has protection, it has aid, it has assistance. It is God surrounding us with his covenant and of his mercy and of his power. And when the word help is used in the scriptures in relation to God, it doesn't just mean a bit of aid and assistance here and there. It means salvation itself. God, who is our helper, is our salvation, our Redeemer, the one who delivers, the one who saves. He has accomplished that salvation on Calvary's cross. Without Jerusalem's gates, there was none. Like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy helm, and in his excellency on the sky. How the children of Israel, those who were believers, could take courage as they considered the unknown future. Moses was about to be taken from them. They did not know what trials lay ahead and how it was going to be. And just like in our day and generation, we do not know what lies ahead in these troublous times. And we do not know how long we will be under the present restrictions that we are under. And we do not know how life is going to unfold when those restrictions are finally lifted and the consequences. But beloved friends, this we know, that God still reigns, God still rules, and God is still able to provide you all the help that you need in your soul circumstances, and also in your providential pathway, your providential care. The children of Israel here were literally going to need the God of Jeshurun to literally divide Jordan, to literally make the Jericho's walls fall down, to literally fight against their enemies and subdue them, to literally provide for them. And you need a God of providence to literally provide for you now and in the days to come. And the God of Jeshurun will do so. He who has made your heaven secure will hear all good provide. While Christ is rich, you can't be poor. What can I want beside? As John Newton wrote in one of his hymns, not in our book, which is a paraphrase of one of the Psalms, "Quiet, Lord, my froward heart, make me teachable and mild, upright, simple, free from art, make me as a weaned child, from distrust and envy free, please, of all that pleases thee. What thou shalt today provide, let me as a child receive. What tomorrow may betide, calmly to thy wisdom leave. 'Tis enough that thou wilt care. Why should I thee burden bear? As a little child relies on a care beyond his own, knows he's neither strong nor wise, fears to stir a step alone. Let me thus with thee abide, as my Father, guide, guard and guide, thus preserved from Satan's wiles, safe from danger, free from fear. May I live upon thy smile till the promised hour appears, when the sons of God shall prove all their father's boundless love." Child of God, fearing, trembling, doubtful one this morning, who is trembling for the future, you're trembling for your business, you're trembling for your family, you're trembling for what's going to come. Like the children of Israel trembled as they stood on the banks of Jordan before it divided, like they trembled as they looked at the walls of Jericho that seemed impenetrable. Your God has your tomorrow and all your tomorrows in his hand. He careth for you. And you can plead this word in your providential pathway just as much as you can plead it in relation to your never-dying soul. Take courage then. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will provide your need. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. He rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. May we be given the faith to leave our future in his hand, trusting in our wise Heavenly Father, his gracious ability to handle matters right. And then he goes on. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God, the Ancient of Days, the God who never had a beginning, the God who will never have an end, the God who created this world and all the universe, and all that is within it, the God who created the seasons, the God who created the order that is in this world, the God who has provided for us our food and drink, our health, our strength, who makes this world fruitful for the benefit of mankind, the eternal God who has wisdom and power at his command, the eternal God who is the sovereign Lord of all and King, the eternal God who in the person of his dearly beloved Son has provided a refuge for sinners, a shelter, a deliverance, a reconciliation, the eternal God, that God who will abide forever. The people had learned to look to Moses for leadership and for guidance. They'd come to rely upon him, especially those who were only natural Israelites, but who were strangers to God. They were unsettled as they considered the future without Moses. Many of them had never known life without Moses. But here he points them to the eternal God. And beloved friends, remembering that Moses is a type of the law, if you and I are to find a refuge, if you and I are to find comfort, if you and I are to find safety and protection and for our souls and a place where we can lie down, we have to go beyond Moses. We have to lose sight of Moses, and we have to come to Christ. We will never find rest, ease, comfort, protection, or an abiding place at Sinai. It's at Calvary where that is found. The eternal God is thy refuge. Thy refuge. See how personal it is. Thy refuge. Real religion is personal. And real religion will make the eternal God our refuge. And then it says is. Don't forget that word. It's a present tense. And because you and I need a present tense refuge. It is no good having a refuge when you most need it if it's not there. What comfort would it be to have a refuge yesterday but not today? Or if we knew we would have one tomorrow, but not today. No, friends, we need this refuge now. We need an ever-present refuge because there are ever-present dangers. And God Almighty says the eternal God is thy refuge. This is really the word of God. Moses is a mouthpiece. But this is God's message himself to his people. He has not delegated this refuge to an angel. He himself is it. The eternal God is thy refuge. A place of safety, a place of protection, a place of comfort, a place of consolation, a place of stability, a place of calm. And interestingly, this word refuge, and it's one of the rare times it's used in the Old Testament. It literally means your home, where you abide in your life day by day, week by week. It means a mansion. Here we have the Old Testament promise. Oh, it's New Testament counterpart. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. An interpretation of this refuge is the same. The eternal God is thy mansion. It's thy abiding place. Your home, is it not? It's a place of safety. It's a place where you can rest. It's a place where you find sustenance to go on with the duties and concerns and storms of life. It is a place where you can come back to at the close of the day and shut out the world and the enemies and the cares and the burdens of life and for a while to rest before you have to take them up again. God promises to be that abiding place, that shelter in a time of storm, that protection. He himself is that place of safety. There's safety under the blood of Jesus Christ, and there alone. But more than that, this word speaks of heaven itself. The eternal God is thy refuge. And an eternal God is an eternal refuge. By definition, this is an infinite refuge. This is heaven itself at last. And God himself will be the refuge of his saints in heaven. The glory of God fills Emmanuel's land. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land, said Rutherford. The eternal God is thy refuge. And child of God, if you've known something here and enjoyed this refuge, you've enjoyed a little comfort along the way, a little peace, a little rest. You felt God's smile and communion and union with him. And it's but a fraction, just a little taste, a little sip. What you will enjoy in eternity to come, where there is perfect peace without end, perfect rest, quietness, ease, perfect deliverance from all toil, all trouble, all pain, all weariness and tiredness. There in heaven shall your eyes with rapture view. that glorious friend who died for you, who died to ransom, died to raise, to crowns of joy, songs of praise. There were no clouds in heaven to hide him from your sight. The eternal God is thy refuge. The hymn writer says, Lord, haste that day when my faith shall be sight. Child of God, what a sight that it will be when you literally behold face to face the eternal God. When you behold Emmanuel, God with you. When you behold the person of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, your Lamb, your Redeemer, your refuge, your almighty friend, your eternal all. The eternal God is thy refuge. And it goes on. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath you, sustaining you, supporting you, carrying you, bearing you along, are these everlasting arms of God's love, of God's kindness, of God's power, his almighty power, his strength, his gracious eye, aid, his stretched out arm, able to save, able to deliver, able to defend, able to keep. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Just like a babe is carried in the arms of its parent. As it moves along, it's not moving under its own strength, is it? Because it can't. It's its parents carrying it and its parents' strength which moves it. So that is the illustration of this word underneath by the everlasting arms. And it's good to be reminded, beloved friends, to put us where we belong. We are weak. We are feeble. We cannot independently survive on our own. We cannot make one single step on our own. How often do we forget? We need these everlasting arms, but they're always there. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And you can't sink lower than underneath. You can't fall out of these arms. And beneath the bottomless pit and hell, and you, believer, are these everlasting arms. And they'll carry you safe home to heaven. None shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hands. On such love my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? Hallelujah. Grace shall reign eternally. Now these hands will sometimes take a direction you do not expect, that perhaps you would not have gone in had you been left to yourself. But beloved friends, remember, he knows the way to heaven, not you. And he knows what is best and what is most suitable for you. And you cannot see it now. Now you see through a glass darkly, but then in heaven face to face. Now you cannot understand your pathway. You cannot understand why you had to go some of the ways you have, and you never will hear. But you will in heaven. And until you get there, be still and know that he is God, and rest in the fact that you do not understand, he does. And he cannot and hasn't made a mistake. underneath the everlasting arms. Arms of power. Arms of love. Arms of safety and security. Arms that will defend you. And they have. If you are favored to get a glimpse of the hands of these arms that surround you, what will you see? These are the wounds I received in the house of my friends. Engrave. Upon his hands, the palms of his hands, is the names and the case and the cause and the need of every believer. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He's graven your name, but more than that, it says thee, everything about thee, your sin dealt with, your needs in my hand to supply, your past, present, future, under my control, under my authority, under my care. Forget thee, I will not. I cannot. Thy name engraved on my heart does forever remain. In palms of my hands while I look on, I see the wounds I received when suffering for thee. I feel at my heart all thy sighs and thy groans. For thou art most near me in my flesh and my bones. In all thy distresses, thy head feels the pain. Yet all are most needful, not one is in vain. Then trust me and fear not, thy life is secure. My wisdom is perfect, supreme is my power. In love I correctly thy soul to refine, to make thee at length in my likeness to shine. Believer, he's taking the way he is here with you. To refine you and to prepare you for Emmanuel's land. And he's taking the right way. He cannot make a mistake. He never has done. He won't begin with you. Underneath the everlasting arms, they are underneath you now. They're underneath you in your times of joy and prosperity and ease. But they're just as much underneath you in those times of distress and anxiety and sorrow and trouble and difficulty. When things are going wrong as when they're going right. It doesn't mean you've fallen out of those arms or he's withdrawn them. It means if now, if need be, you're in heaviness. From manifold temptation, but you'll come out of it. There will be a deliverance. It will not be forever. And then you will be, beloved friend, still in these arms. I'll still be carrying you through when you come to the end of the journey. They will carry you through the Jordan of death itself. They'll land you safe in heaven. They'll put you down at the feet of Jesus. As the apostle said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And interestingly, another manager finishing his course, running that race, in the days of the Apostle Paul, when competitors literally ran a race, it wasn't like in our day where you cross a what's called a finishing line. In the days of the Apostle Paul, competitors had to run to the feet of a person who had been designated as a finishing post. And that was a person. And they hadn't finished the race till they'd run right up to his feet. So, believer, yes, your way may be dark, distressing. But look this morning where it's going to end. At the feet of Jesus. And when you're there in heaven, that will be the end of all grief. That will be the end of all sorrow, all weariness. Nothing but joy and peace and deliverance to come. Nothing but eternal communion, unbroken communion with your God. Take courage. Because the eternal God is our refuge and underneath for the everlasting arms. No wonder he closes with, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. The Lord's people should be happy. By faith they should rejoice at the prospect of heaven. By faith we should rejoice that we are under this care. We should rejoice we have these everlasting arms. We should rejoice we have an eternal God to go to. The world do not have that. We are in this text, we are highly favored and privileged. We have reason to rejoice. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, saved by grace, saved by redeeming love and mercy. Saved by Jesus Christ. The shield of thy help. That shield talks of defense, and he will defend you. The sword of thine excellency. Shield and a sword are both defensive in one sense, aren't they? The Lord will defend you from the attack of Satan. But he will also attack Satan and fight on your behalf. And that's why you'll overcome at the last. That's why you'll be found in heaven, where you will praise the eternal God, your eternal refuge. Where you will prove there is none like unto the God of Jeshua. And may this morning you be enabled to rejoice in God your helper, who has helped you in time past, who will help you today, and who will help you in time to come. The Lord your helper. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen.
The notices are as follows. Mr. Buss will preach for us this evening at 6:30. There'll be a prayer meeting for the congregation as a whole tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. Mr. Pickett will also preach at our anniversary services on Friday at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Collections will be for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. Let us close with hymn number 293. 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive, I pour out my song and stretch forth my hands unto God. Hymn 293.
Thank you.
Lord, dismiss us with thy richest blessing and divine favour. Be with us during the hours of this, thy day. Gather us around thy word this night. Be unto us a refuge, a shelter in time of storm, a deliverer, our almighty friend. And Lord, give us that faith to come to thee, to trust in thee for salvation, and also to rejoice in that salvation. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us now and forevermore. Amen.